From far off, the advance of their phalanx would be heralded by the shrilling of high-pitched pipes, and the earth would shake with the rhythm of their slow and metronomic approach. Then, as they emerged through the dust of battle, a dazzling wall of bronze and scarlet would appear, for it was the practice of the Spartans to burnish their shields until they glittered, and to wear brilliant cloaks dyed the colour of fresh blood. Above the slow step of their marching, chilling battle hymns to ancient heroes would be raised, until officers, their distinctive horsehair crests running from ear to ear, would yell out a command, and the phalanx would cease its paean. Immediately, upon the silence, a blast of trumpets would rend the air. The hoplites would quicken their pace, lower their spears, then start to run. Not necessarily, however, in a single mass. The wings might advance separately, like the horns of a bull, to turn the enemy flanks. The discipline required for such a manoeuvre, far beyond the ambitions, let alone the abilities of amateur troops, served as grim testimony to the Spartans' addiction to drill. It was, everyone agreed, a terrible thing to fight the Spartans. By the early 540s BC, when Croesus, the king of Lydia, was advised by an oracle to seek out the most powerful of the Greek cities as an ally in his looming war against the Persians, he had little hesitation in approaching Sparta. With the friendship of a king as rich and powerful as Croesus, and with Tegea and much of the rest of the Peloponnese subordinated, it appeared to the Spartans that the time had finally come for a reckoning with the old enemy. Around 546 BC, even as the Lydian Empire was succumbing to Cyrus, the Spartans advanced not to the aid of Croesus, but directly against Argos. They won a crushing victory. Strategically vital swathes of the Argive frontier were permanently annexed to Lacedaemon, and the Argives themselves, shaving their heads as a mark of their prostration, were left crippled for a generation. It was in the midst of their celebrations, however, that news reached the Spartans of Croesus' fall. The Spartans' failure to live up to the terms of their alliance with the king of Lydia was an evident humiliation. Worse was to follow. Still unwilling to commit troops beyond the Aegean, Sparta dispatched instead only a small embassy, which duly met with Cyrus and was subjected to his celebrated put-down, "Who are the Spartans?" The lesson was sobering. Compared to the fantastical scale of Cyrus's dominion, all the Peloponnese was but an insignificant dot. But the time would come when the Spartans would fling the Persians' mockery back in their teeth.